The views expressed by guests on this podcast are the opinions of the speakers and not PCCA. This podcast is intended to be educational and informative. PCCA does not endorse or advocate any practice that is not consistent with federal and state laws or regulations. Check with your local board of pharmacy about any issues in your particular jurisdiction.
Welcome to The Mortar and Pestle, a PCCA podcast, where we discuss all things compounding and all things concerning pharmacy. Now, here are your hosts, Mike DeLisio, North American Sales Director, and Sebastian Dennison, Clinical Compounding Pharmacist.
Welcome, Compounding World, and welcome to the latest episode of A Mortar and Pestle, a PCCA podcast. This is Mike DeLisio, join Sebastian Dennison.
Welcome back, everyone. Excitement, excitement, excitement. Fresh off of Vegas, we have a special guest.
We do. It was an awesome week of learning, as it always is. Traditionally, for the audience that is not familiar with our educational calendar, we normally start off the year with one of our most significant events, which is our Las Vegas Bioidentical Hormone Replacement Therapy Symposium, which once again was exceptional. And we are actually joined by the Director of Clinical Services today, Sarah Hover. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Excited to be here today, guys.
Excited to have you. And as I was saying in that little mini intro, you're also a featured speaker. So how perfect to bring you to the podcast shortly after the Vegas Symposium. And we've done so many clinical topics that have been involved in the world of bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. Today, we're going to, can I call it an offshoot or part of it? I guess so.
To me, it's a mainstay. It's like one of the main reasons for replacing hormones.
So we will not call it an offshoot.
Well, it's the expanded scope.
It is. We're starting to.
We've learned so much more, and this weekend was a showcase of that with Sarah leading the charge.
Yeah, I think kind of the beautiful part. We were talking about this before the episode. The expansion or the wide view of functional medicine, and it's not sometimes just that the symptoms of what happens during perimenopause, menopause, andropause, et cetera, as you were mentioning earlier, but obviously the impact of hormone on the brain. So I think that's going to be our episode. And there's obviously a lot of things that we can take away from this conversation. And Sarah, maybe you can also brief our audience on what we discussed at this past event, because I think that will be the best way to kind of get us started.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have definitely taken a different approach to our hormone conferences, really just looking, like Mike was saying, just broader. So looking at the gut microbiome and how important that is for our hormones and just our overall health. There's a vaginal microbiome. So our body, we're basically just like walking microbes, which is hard to think of. But so looking at that, looking at detoxification, you know, we're putting these hormones in our system. How are we eliminating it? Dr. Jones talked about estrogen's exit plan, and she did a fabulous job of describing in real people terms, like I like to say, so that everyone could really grasp and understand the very complex system of detoxification. And then Ranella and I talked about some common questions we get in clinical services, which is great for our membership. And one of those things was talking about progesterone and the brain and all the other uses of progesterone in the body besides just protecting the uterus.
So I'm going to ask the question, and I've had a fair amount of education. As you're an A4M fellow and you've been leading the charge for clinical services with hormones for a number of years. And we still go back to the basics. Like there's more than just reproductive function to progesterone. So we don't want to go into too much detail, but tell us where we are today.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I still think the general medical community just thinks of progesterone very binary, just that it is just to protect the uterus. And if there's no uterus, a woman's had a hysterectomy, then she doesn't need progesterone. I've always felt like that was very narrow thinking. There are a lot of receptors in the uterus. So, I mean, there is a great draw or affinity for progesterone to go there. But you also have progesterone receptors in the intestines and the sinuses, the thyroid. It's throughout our body. Our body is so magical with how it does things. There's never just one direction. So to me, it's very narrow thinking to think that you don't need progesterone if you don't have a uterus. But it's super important for the brain. And that's a message I've been trying to get across to practitioners and pharmacists that maybe aren't familiar with our education and familiar with our world. It's just emphasizing how important that is.
So I was actually on a clinical call just last week, and we were having a conversation about the education level and the current paradigm of thinking. So what was kind of, where is the evidence leading us, and why are we talking about it with this expanded scope, so to speak, as opposed to, okay, we're going through menopause and we just want to balance hormones for this short period of time. What's the new world? What's the new paradigm?
Yeah. And I think women and men are becoming more educated. I think we're, asking questions. So I think in general, the group of folks that are going through these hormonal changes are asking questions and they're educated. And I love it. I love an educated patient because it just makes things so much better. So yeah, there's some research. I mean, it's harder with the compounded preparations just because there's not the financing behind it. But I think there's enough we can glean from commercial products that are technically bioidentical that we can lean on that literature when we're explaining, why we need to, help a patient with bioidentical hormones.
And so we were talking just before the podcast about some of the things that you're noticing and where this sort of value is coming in with the brain. And so are you comfortable giving a sort of truncated summary of why it's so important to the brain?
Yeah. So you actually have neurons in the brain that actually make progesterone, which was absolutely fascinating to me. We know that cognition and any sort of neurodegenerative diseases in women occurs more after menopause. And so we know that hormones play a huge role in just that function of the brain. And certainly you talk to any woman, actually you talk to a man that's lost testosterone, when he replaces it, first thing he's going to say is, oh my gosh, I walked in a room and remembered why I went in there. And just what I've learned from my patients too. I had a patient that after the Women's Health Initiative, she was scared like a lot of ladies were, and she got off of her hormones. She was in her 70s and she came back to me a couple months later and she's like, I don't care what that study said. I can't think, I can't function. I want my hormones back. So of course we worked with her physician and reinitiated therapy. So I've seen it in real life. It's not just, reading this study and how this, supports neuronal function. It's real life for me. I've seen it in action.
Oh yeah. I think we've all got stories about women coming in and just saying, you've changed my life. I feel better. I'm less anxious and I can think clearer and I've got better memory and it just feels, just everything is sharper. It comes back into focus is the way they've explained it to me. And now the flip side is we're also learning, you started off talking about the microbiome and you started talking about the progesterone. How is the microbiome connected to the brain and how is it connected to progesterone? Because that's a pretty cool little discussion.
It is a very cool discussion. They've done lots of animal studies looking at this, and there is a gut-brain connection. Like we've talked about that for years, but really kind of getting down to talking about the connection with the actual bacteria and the brain is absolutely fascinating. To where even if you were to say you had a patient that was balanced on progesterone, they were having some depression, you got them on progesterone, things were balanced. They take an antibiotic from an infection and all of a sudden their depression is back and it was linked to the bacteria you just wiped out by the antibiotic. It just... mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing.
And there's a whole discussion about serotonin production in the gut and imbalance. And I think the term is microbial diversity for your microbiome, because that's a key piece. And then changing that balance can have these impacts. But it also then goes back to what's happening in the brain and progesterone's response in the brain when you have this sort of microbiome imbalance. Sorry, I'm tripping over my M's right now. So
please jump in. And they've looked at the microbiome from, from an adolescent, someone that hasn't gone through puberty yet, that looks completely different biodiversity, different group of bugs to a normal, you know, cycling female to postmenopausal. And you can see how that changes with those hormonal changes. And I still think there's so much more we need to learn. But yeah, the serotonin, neurotransmitter production of the bacteria is important as well to work with everything else. So the other thing you were talking about, like patients like, oh, I feel so much better. I think the other side of that is just helping with patients, just zest for life. So many times we get to the point where we're like, oh, I didn't have any hot flashes, so I didn't need hormones. And then they just are just stepping through life. They're just one foot in front of the other. They don't have joy. They are, you know, they've lost that zest for life is what I like to call it. And it's so rewarding when patients come back and start telling you that I started doing my hobbies again. I used to read all the time and I don't know why I just stopped, but I'm back again and I'm loving it. And it's just, to me, that's why we get up every day, right? To help patients bring back that joy.
It kind of pulls me back to a part of it, because I think when you talked about the microbiome, you can also see microbiome changes in patients with depression versus patients without depression. So I think that this is where we're starting to discuss, like, you know, how is it affecting the microbiome? And your comments about the premenopausal, or sorry, the pubescent premenopausal and then postmenopausal microbiome. Are we looking at studies with progesterone in the microbiome yet? Or is that something that we should sort of be discussing and maybe following up on?
Yeah, I still think there's more research that needs to happen. I think there's more we need to learn. But you know, that's the great thing about going to events like what we were just went with all together in Vegas is, I mean, there were so many things that I learned. It was just mind blowing with so many things. We were Dr. Briggs was talking about just, you know, a mother after she's had a baby, even if you had a C-section, which we worry about the baby not getting mom's microbiome on the way out. If it was C-section, there's a transfer when you breastfeed. She called it the enteromammary transfer. So they were able to look at mom's bacteria and baby's bacteria, and they could see that mom had transferred through the breast milk. I mean, that was, literally cool. Turned to my colleague and was like, what? Like, mind blowing for sure.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah, it happens. Yes. So that's why we need to continue like going to these education events. And I was so pleased with how everything came together, because it just brought so many new cool concepts to the table. And I learned a ton. We can't just, you know, stay in our little box and do things how we did them for the last 20 years, because things are growing and changing, and we'll learn more about the microbiome as we move on.
So that kind of leads me into the next question that I'm kind of curious. You said that was mind blowing. What are some of the other things that you were just like, give me your top three beyond the breast milk thing, because I'm going to be like, whoa, that was cool. But what are three more that you were just like, I couldn't have heard this. I couldn't have read that paper. I had to be live.
Yeah, I think really, I mean, I've heard Dr. Jones talk about estrogen detoxification before. But I probably need to hear it five more times. Like it was simplified how she explained it. And it's one of those things when you're listening to it, you're like, okay, yeah, I get it. But for me to come back and tell you exactly the whole process right now, I need to go through and listen to it a few more times to really, really have that down. So I learned a ton from her. You know, Dr. Smith talked about, you know, hormones in the skin. That was a great refresher of, you know, how important DHEA is for the skin per se. Like we talk about estrogen, you know, women have been using Permanent Vaginal Cream around their eyes for eons and helping with wrinkles. So obviously there's some kind of options we can do for that instead. But it was just a good reminder of how important DHEA is for the skin. So, I guess that was probably only two, but well, I'm going to count so the enteromammary one as number three. Okay, no.
So I learned that one from you about the DHEA in skin, and that was a trick. You're like, oh, well, you put it in the cream and then you can do this, this, and this. I've shared that trick with a few other people, so they really like that one. But yeah, that's sort of the fun part about doing these events where it's an exchange of information, and it sort of steps and grows as we continue coming together. So anything else that you want to discuss about the Vegas event that you're just like, oh, I got to get this out there. I got to get people excited about it.
Goodness. I really loved, we did some case studies When I go to an event and we, you know, I listen to a doctor give a case study, I'm so busy writing down notes of what they're saying that I don't have a chance to engage my brain and think about what would I do? What questions would I ask? And so we took how I like to do things and instituted that. And we broke the group up into five areas. And Ranelle and I presented a case. And then we allowed them time to go through it. And then there were some people I had to volunteer to give their part. But they did well. They piped in. And everyone did so great. And it was so cool to hear some of the things that I had already taught from stage kind of repeated back to me of, oh, well, we would do this. And I knew it was just something they had just learned. And it was just great watching them exercise those muscles and think. And there were a couple of nurse practitioners that I had just met on Thursday night. And I was like, hey, I kind of called on you on Friday afternoon. I hope you're okay. And they're like, no, we were good. We're just learning. I'm like, well, you guys did great. So anyway, that was probably one of my favorite parts. Wait to see what everyone else thought about it. Being in the same room with everyone else in the networking and the connections, that's my plug.
And I think that's the part about any of our education events is like the live brings it to life. I guess that's the best way to explain it. And we do that. We did that with International. We do that with our events in-house. We do that with any of our external events. It's just a different world. And then, of course, you had a whole group of prescribers there that are just like, wow, this is... wow, we didn't know that the pharmacists were this involved in education and what information that they can share. So it just ramped it up again.
Yeah. And there were several pharmacists that had their practitioners there with them, learning with them, which I think is great. It was just that connection and interaction with people. You just, you know, breakfast time, I was talking to, you know, a pharmacist from Canada and we had a great exchange. And, you know, you don't have that same experience, I guess, when it's virtual. It's just information, which is great if that's all you can do. But anyway.
And by the way, the pharmacist wasn't me. I am from Canada, but there was a different pharmacist, I'm sure. I was somewhere else. Okay. And switching gears, because this is something, and I'm going to drag in another clinical services member here. You had Ranelle with you in Vegas, and she was asked a few pointed questions because I guess she was talking about alternate weight loss options. And so she was talking a lot about some new paradigms. So what was your takeaway there? Because weight loss and microbiome dysfunction or imbalances go hand in hand. In fact, there's a ton of literature that shows that getting your microbiome can actually help you lose weight as a standalone. So that's pretty wild too.
Right. Absolutely. No. Yes. Ranelle was there and I love sharing the stage with her. We always have a good time. We kind of feed off of each other. So that was great. But yeah, she presented on some compounding options. We did have a new base that was kind of soft launch, Submagna to help with the absorption of your high molecular weight or your large molecules sublingually, such as semaglutide. We had lots of questions about exactly how that base works and, treatment options and dosing options. Definitely weight loss and getting your, blood sugar under control is super important for the gut microbiome as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that there's going to be so many questions about that, but that must have been really fun to be part of and having people be able to ask questions in real time and exchange information. Because there's a lot of questions about delivery of medications sublingually. I think there was a new paper that I saw that talked about these large high molecular weight molecules and not just these single products, but there's a whole application. And one of the discussions was sublingual progesterone in Submagna. So very, very cool sort of application.
Yeah. And Gus Vasani, our chief scientific officer, he flew out there to present it. And of course, he is so stupid, wicked smart that he did a great job explaining the technology. He did quote Ranelle in saying that Submagna is not only a cool base, it's a super cool base. So the technology with it is very, very impressive. They've done a lot of research with it. I love it.
Yeah. And more to come on that. I'm absolutely sure we're going to have more. So I've been talking a lot. Mike, I'm going to throw it back to you because I'm sure you have a couple of comments or thoughts. And Sarah, I know you're ready to go. Like you seem jazzed up about this education event. So
Sarah, my comment's more as an observer. so often we get requests from members saying, your hormone events must all be the same. And you touched on something throughout the podcast that I think was incredibly important, is that it's ever evolving. There's always a new angle to look at, something new to learn. And I think, what message would you have to the pharmacists that you guys help out every single day who want to expand their knowledge on hormones, recognizing that PCCA, I mentioned our annual calendar that covers so many different topics. We have two major hormone events a year, one that's normally in the summer cycle, and obviously the first part of the year, which is normally our Las Vegas event. So what's your message to that audience, thinking that every single one of our events cover the same topics, because they never do? There's never a crossover in agenda. Certain core components or speakers may have repeated themselves, but they are normally delivering new information. So what message do you have for them? Because I also think of our audience that is earlier on or more intermediate in regards to, I guess, how they're taking in the information, treating patients. No event is made the same. And I think that's probably the biggest misconception in our marketplace.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been working with bioidentical hormones for, 29 years, and how I was treating patients, even 10 years ago is different than how I recommend for, therapies now. So you have to stay on top of it. It's there's new and cool information, and I think our education team does a great job of finding those practitioners that are going to show us something new and different, and different viewpoints. Sometimes people get frustrated because one doctor might only use one mode of testing, and another doctor might use a different mode of testing. But we try to bring to the table different ideas that all are scientifically based, that is going to help expand everyone's knowledge base. So, I think diving into more of the functional medicine approach, we've been leaning that way for the last several years, just knowing how many of our members are practicing this way. But just to help the others that aren't, help them, bring them along. But we're always looking for new ideas, and it's exciting. I was telling a member yesterday, I'm like, it's so cool. Like, you see it on paper. Like, I saw all the presentations and I saw the agenda. But to actually see it all come live and together, I was like, man, that was awesome. That was really, really good.
Yeah. So I think the biggest takeaway that I would have to reiterate is pay attention to the agendas, the speakers, the topics. And even at that, it won't do it justice, but at least it gives you a sense of the fact that the topics don't necessarily repeat themselves. And if something changes, if there's a new viewpoint, our education team does a great job of acquiring the right speaker and putting them in the right spot on the agenda as well.
Right. And we try to, kind of start out with some basics. My talk was the pillars of hormonal health. It was just to kind of have a jumping off point. Probably our members that have been, working with hormones for a long time, it wasn't beginning of that wasn't anything new, but I just needed to kind of bring everybody along so they could understand the rest of the speakers throughout the conference. But yeah. And then sometimes we'll touch on thyroid, we'll touch on adrenal, and we try to kind of sprinkle that throughout because it's so big.
And I was just going to mention, we also, if you need a baseline education, we have the C4 program that leads into these. And so we can get everyone up to speed. And so Sarah, like your job is much easier, because I think we had like 12 or so people who did the C4 program.
There was a number live and virtual. I don't know what the final count was, but it was quite a few. But yes, the C4 is a great lead up to those events.
Yeah, because I've gone to these events and I'm like, I've done the fellowship. I'm okay. And then I just sit there and I'm like, my hair's blown back, my socks are blown off, and I'm like, I didn't take enough notes. And then we get questions about it later. So we tend to do a deep dive afterwards, and we do have more of these discussions. So I'm looking forward to hearing your summary notes and our calls as a team, because you always drop bombs of knowledge on us. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks, Sarah. I appreciate you not only talking about the power of hormone in the brains, but most importantly, almost like a recap of our HRT symposium and all the major topics that were discussed. I think for those that didn't have the ability to attend live or virtual, this gives them a real review in terms of what to expect potentially next year. So it's one of those I was going to say must miss, but no, the opposite.
The
must attend.
Don't miss.
The don't miss events.
The show up live.
I'm pretty sure it's still active for 2 months. So I think if for you sure. are just have some burning desire, I think you can still jump in. So call education.
Well, our amazing digital media team, they put together, like they did a live stream and I know that they captured a lot of it. So I'm sure we're going to have these presentations on our learning platform. And since I've got one of them right here to my left hand, he's probably got some comments about when it will be available for people if they do want to review any of the amazing presentations. Like you, you're going to go and watch one 5 times. You're going to burn out that VHS tape, so to speak. That's awesome. Sorry, throwback to the VHS.
Like I haven't heard the term VHS tape in a long time.
I was lucky. I've got a VHS player, and so I got to get all the Disney movies, and I got to watch them eat popcorn.
Thanks, Sarah. It's an absolute pleasure to join us today. Thanks so much for covering this topic. And thanks again to all of our listeners out there for tuning in. As always, stay connected with us on social media. And most importantly, hit subscribe so that you do not miss an episode. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, this is Mike DeLisio, and we'll talk to you soon.